Welcome to IoT Real Talk. No fluff, no filler, just real pros talking about real programs, real challenges, and real results. Once seen as the next big thing, IoT is now facing the reality check of business models, budgets, and bottom lines. In this episode of IoT Real Talk, we sit down with Marcel Meyer, head of IoT sales at Swisscom, to unpack how the IoT landscape is shifting from marketing buzz to measurable business value. Marcel offers a candid perspective on why the real IoT revolution isn't about devices, it's about economics. How telcos can adapt as demand moves from shiny concepts to solid ROI. It's time to get real about IoT and what comes next. Stay tuned. Hi, everyone. I'm your co-host, Susanna Song, Chief Marketing Officer at Aeris. And with me is my co-host, John Connett, Chief Product Officer for Aeris. We Howdy. Are at episode 2.
All right. Let's do it.
Well, welcome, John, and welcome, Marcel.
Yeah, welcome to the pod.
Well, Marcel, why don't you give our audience just a quick intro about what you do at Swisscom and a little bit more about Swisscom's IoT business.
Sure, happy to do so. My name you already used, and I'm heading the IoT sales team within Swisscom. So what do we actually do? So we support our customer to bring data from their IoT devices back to their company. And me and my team, we support our customers to bring their IoT to life. And as Susanna, as you already also mentioned, that we really focusing and walk through them the business aspect of IoT. So within that, me and my team, we really get in touch with all our customers and really go down to the essence of IoT, not only the technology, but really merging these two sides. It's quite a long journey. So I'm already 6 years plus with Swisscom. So everything grows. So the quantities grow. So that was part of the first hype in this whole IoT field. Uh-huh. Had the first disappointments just after I started being blinded by the big numbers everyone told me about, right? got this by myself a reality check. And now I'm convinced that we are on a solid focused way forward, and hopefully our customers also realize that and trust us in this journey.
Very good. Very good.
Well, where were you when you mentioned it, you know, IoT being kind of that shiny and much of a buzzword. So where were you when IoT was still a buzzword, and what have you learned? What are some of the hard truths that have emerged since?
Looking back at my career, actually, I started being in contact with the free area of IoT almost a little bit, in the sense of I was working previously in ABB in the utility field, right, and was in the strategy team of the Smart Grid initiative within ABB. So with Smart Grid having said that the Smart Grid is basically the IoT of the utilities. And at the beginning of 2000, everyone was talking about smart grid, and we will have all these smart meters in the next 5 years. And then, you know, all this demand response, the solar panels on the rooftop, charging your EV car and balancing out. And so that was really at the beginning of this market. Everyone had this vision and the big numbers at that time. It didn't come that way. So it took much, much, much longer. Everyone knows, like 25 years later, we are now finally seeing that materializing. Then I changed to Swisscom, being more on the forefront and more on the wider area of IoT. And I was confronted with the same again.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's the classic technology hype cycle, it sounds like, right? And, you know, we've kind of gotten through the classic trough of disillusionment for IoT. Where do you see kind of the market going over the next couple of years, and how do you see the use cases evolving? Do you see them, you know, kind of meeting those initial hype and expectation so many years ago, or do you see kind of the reality still being a bit different than what was envisioned, or is it something in between? Kind of where's your view on that?
I think the whole vision which people put on it is basically still there, huh? And it's still correct. I think the main non-realistic part is a timeline, which everyone puts on it, right? And I think there are also many consultants to blame for that, because they send quite frequently, again, new reports, new elements. They probably do a little bit an ambitious communication in that field. However, because they look at on a vision, on a concept, and technological capabilities, which technology is commonly here, but the business element, the main drivers, the value and investment, which have to trigger the implementation of these technologies, is basically not there, right? And this is commonly neglected in this whole vision and long-term view. So I'm convinced that the idea behind and the vision is correct. Simply the timeline has to be stretched into an extended view.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, there's a lot of industries, obviously, where the technology comes first and then the business model, the business case kind of is the afterthought. I mean, I mean, just look at kind of the AI trends happening right now, right? It's not super clear what the business, I mean, it's, everyone knows that there's going to be some type of model that works. And I think there's a lot of, there's clearly a lot of bets going on in the market that there'll be a model that works. But right now, you know, there isn't a model that can justify the amount of capital being spent in things like AI. And I think with IoT, it's probably very similar. What do you see as kind of the biggest barriers to kind of building those business cases for IoT? Is it a cost thing? Is it a revenue thing? Like where does the model kind of fall down today, and where is it? Where are you seeing it improve to where we can kind of realize that vision over time?
So, where I see that the main challenges which come up, or what is the underlying element facilitating this growth is the problem of what is there is too many. So for IoT to work, so many players have to be in line and agreeing to each other that it really works and takes off. And these are commonly groups which they have a business connection together, but they were never really used to work in a partnered approach. They were always supplier and customer mindset, right? And taking an example, you have this smart office elements, right? Where the main vision was make the office IoT ready. So you know which desks are booked, which meeting rooms are booked. You know that CO2 value in your office and so on. Technology is there. Concepts are there. Willingness of companies are there. Yes. The main thing why it fell apart is the structure of contracts within this company. You have a technology supplier, the tenant has the benefit of it, but the owner of the building should invest into it to provide the benefit to his tenant, which then never gets a return to it. So the one who pays doesn't get the return, it should pay for someone else who then gets the return, and this whole economical slow triangle never really was. The company is never capable of level that out, right? And therefore, it just never really took off.
And how do you, do you see that? So it's clearly an ecosystem challenge, right? Do you see that changing? Do you see technology helping evolve that? Or is it just now people are finding use cases that where the model works?
I see very often it's still the case that there's this one forerunner company which just says, okay, look, we just do it. You have to prove it's working to prove the ecosystem. It makes sense, and there is a value for all of us in it. Huh? That's still the common approach, how I see it at the moment. However, unfortunately, commonly the main driver to make it really click is still on a regulatory point of view. When there's this one regulatory element coming in, out of a sudden everyone is available to talk, everyone is available to find agreements, right? And we know all how politics are. Sometimes they are quite quick, but very often they are very slow.
Interesting. Can you give us an example of a regulation that either is helping drive this adoption or maybe is a barrier?
I mean, now on the facility side, I don't have any regulation at that point which made that drive that reason never took off. But I see many regulatory aspects coming in now in the security field, right? Data compliance field. In Europe, especially also in the AI field, which you mentioned before, John, where these regulatory aspects come in and they definitely drive conversations, they drive investments, and they drive willingness to move forward and implement an ecosystem and a new concept to be in this field. So security and AI, definitely we see that is changing.
That's interesting. I think you see some similar trends in the U.S. as well. You have regulatory bodies like NERC-SIP. I know you're coming from a utility and a smart meter background, so you're probably familiar. But you know, they're saying, look, you gotta connect all this stuff, right, for better grid management. But oh, by the way, now that you've connected all this stuff, you got to make sure that it's secure. So it's both a driver and kind of a barrier, right? Because it's connect all this stuff so that you can drive the efficiency and kind of the vision of value that that IoT brings to the table with things like smart meters and microgrid management, et cetera, et cetera. But then on the flip side, oh, by the way, this is critical infrastructure, national sovereignty concerns, you know, what have you, like, make sure that you do it in a way that doesn't, you know, blow up on our face. And, you know, it's interesting how regulation can both be a driver and a hindrance in some cases with these. And by hindrance, I mean more of just creating new challenges that the ecosystem has to solve for.
Yes, I didn't figure out yet what is the right way. Should the regulation be leading and the ecosystem should be following, or vice versa? But I think it's a ping pong game between the two. But talking about utilities, I was doing the big blackout in Spain exactly at that time. So course, it was all these things. As coming out of the utilities, actually being an electrical engineer, really triggered my head. So what about security? First thing, what about security? Was it attack and so on? And then talking to your colleagues who did the whole analysis, then realizing, no, it was maybe a combination of renewables and connected elements of the system itself, right? And maybe it was even more.
Yeah, but that's actually a really interesting case study, because I was obviously following. We had a lot of colleagues that were affected by that here at Aeris by the blackout, and in following a lot of the commentary, it was really fascinating to see. Like, you know, a lot of people were speculating, "Hey, was this a cyber attack?" Others were speculating, "Hey, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the percent of renewables on the grid created grid instability." For me, what I think the interesting takeaway is, you know, these systems are getting so complex, right? And these grids are basically giant machines, interconnected machines. You know, you're getting so much complexity, particularly in a lot of these larger IoT deployments. And I would consider, you know, like a grid, like a giant IoT system, right? You're getting so much complexity that really the part of the challenge is really, how do you get visibility into the operational aspects of these systems, where you can not only do like the root cause analysis, right, as you're discussing, but also where it sounds like it's still ongoing, right, literally weeks later.
Probably will never be concluded.
But yeah, fully. Exactly. Like, we'll never actually know, which is scary, right? And obviously does not help with confidence in making these things more interconnected. But, you know, also it kind of belies the fact that, you know, having better kind of operational oversight in real time so you can avoid these types of things. Like, how, you know, at Swisscom, do you guys see that as another facet of kind of how we can better solve for and build confidence in these IoT programs, like just getting better insight and visibility and sort of operational management for these larger programs?
This is definitely something what is needed, and also from the customer required better insight, better predictability, and also the calmness in terms of like security, right? Like they can be calm, the system can run securely, so that keeps them calm. And at the moment, what you see, like everyone is asking for this element, right? So better visibility, better predictability, and AI will be this aspect, a key element. And many have not yet the trust that AI can be that element predicting. And I know customers when they say like, it's something with AI in there, then I need a special approval from my top management, right?
Yeah.
And so they are not yet there, but it will come. The direction is given, and it's clear that it comes. And coming from seeing the link from the utility side, where the smart grid was, and now we have this, as you said, this gigantic element. I see the same in IoT, and I think the next thing which will also be there, having this building up this complexity, will probably then be in IoT, the self-driving cars. Have been bringing then this same monsters, sorry for the word, but gigantic ecosystem in place. And at the moment, we are in between. So most of our customers, they can focus on their own solution. They can focus on their own business model, which they bring to their customers, bring values to their customer, and therefore want predictability, visibility, and security for that. And only in a later stage, then the ecosystem will grow, right?
Yeah. So Marcel, I think that's interesting. I think back to the whole question around how do you secure IoT, and you know, people's minds just went to, you know, a cyber attack in Spain. Is that what brought the grid down? What about your customers? Like, when they ask you for how can I make sure and ensure my IoT devices are secure, where's Swisscom at? Like, how do you provide that confidence and assurance that there is security?
Yeah, security was always on the top of mind of many of our customers. Some had better means to go after it. But what we really see is a new focus in security, that you have to not only... Security is always seen as a protection. I keep myself protected, me as my company. And this now really changes with not keeping me protected, but my solution and all the others protected. The regulation changes into this direction, but also the mindset of the customers gives. I provide a solution to my customers, maybe even on their premises. I have to be able to do that. I also have to protect my customers. And there we work very closely together with Aries, and also the solution, security solution, which we have together in the market, right? Bringing that to our customers and exactly enabling that to our customers, not only protecting yourself, but being able to protect also your solution, your customer, and your environment. And that's a really new change. It takes time. The customers, I think, are not yet ready full on there, because it's, I think they are quite challenged. It's this new mindset, this new heavy responsibility. But this is where it goes. This is also what will bring IoT to the next level then.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've seen that trend in a lot of different markets. You know, prior to joining Aries, I spent a lot of time in the operational technology space. I actually did a lot of work with ABB, and you know, even looking at like the factory environment, right? Like, how do you bring? So now I'm bringing, you know, and you'll probably know this term, the Industry 4.0, right? Into the factory, right? The interconnected factory, and kind of realizing the vision of, you know, the machine that builds the machine, so to speak. You know, it was interesting because, you know, going, seeing that paradigm, you know, 7-8 years back, going through that, again, kind of that hype cycle of, oh, we're going to build all this stuff. We're going to interconnect the factory and it's going to be great. You know, we're going to drive huge amounts of efficiency, you know, higher productivity for our labor force, you know, greater return on investment, et cetera, you know. And then there was the realization that, oh, interconnecting all this stuff, bringing in all this IT equipment, you know, into the factory floor, you know, all the way, you know, in all layers of the Purdue stack, so to speak, you know, actually introduces a lot of risk, right? Both operational risk, business risk, obviously, you know, cyber risk. You know, then there was the kind of like, okay, well, what do we do about it? And it was, you know, kind of going through the sort of the journey, right? Realizing, oh, actually, you know, we need to go and bring all the best practices from kind of the carpeted part of the environment, right? The IT part of the environment, and start bringing some of those best practices in a way that works, right, for the factory, you know, into that OT environment. And I think we're probably, as you say, at the very beginning of the same journey in what I would call sort of the cellular, right? The stuff that's outside of the corporate enterprise boundary, if you will. We're starting to probably see the same journey there with that, you know, that cellular connected IoT as well. I don't know if you agree with that, but it would be interesting to kind of hear your thoughts given your experience at ABB as well.
I agree with you. We see the start of it, and I think the visibility which all the IT teams already had on the security and so on. It's something new to have that now also on the connectivity side, right? And I think that will change a lot for our customers, and especially also for the trust, bringing the solution into your end customers, and that. But in my opinion, it's needed, and it's really the base to make this interconnectionable responsibilities.
Yes.
In the ecosystem, and then the next thing will be then AI on top, right? Then
the next, of course,
complexity trust, yes, element, where probably it's even the next level of where can you cut, yeah, segregate responsibility, visibility, or actually knowing, yeah, where stuff is. And
yeah, I mean, good for you guys though, right? Like more data, more connectivity that you got to manage. How are you guys actually thinking? Are you you know, I tend to think of Swisscom as one of the more forward-thinking players in the IoT space from a connectivity standpoint. Like, how are you seeing that trend play out? Is that going to be just more data? Is it going to be kind of more onus on you guys to help facilitate that kind of AI infrastructure? Like, where do you guys kind of fall on the AI trend hype cycle?
I mean, we have one thing particular about Swisscom is that we are a leading telco company, but we also a big house in the IT field, huh? So AI is a big thing for us as well. So we establish trusted AI in Switzerland now, so mainly for the banking field and so on, so we are also now touching up the possibilities of combining security and trusted AIs together. But of course, from connectivity, from IT point of view, connectivity is what we mainly deliver to our customers. And without the connectivity, and their IoT solution is not running and not working.
Yeah, so none of the stuff connectivity works.
Yeah. We have the security on top, which is now coming in, which is also from a customer point of view, and which is needed, which is needed. And then we will have the whole data elements from AI. When there, I'm convinced we see the same steps as always. At the moment, you still see the centralized AI. So the data transactions are huge. So a lot of data. When I talk to self-driving cars, they talk about terabytes per month, which they use, which almost brings down infrastructure standard, yeah, eventually, right?
And hope you got enough spectrum.
Exactly. But technology will bring that forward, that you can then put AI much more into the edge, and connectivity will be more crucial. Ugh. But less in data.
So it's more optimized, where latency maybe becomes a bigger play than the bandwidth. Exactly. for you guys.
But still, it's more crucial, because when it's not there, it still doesn't work. So that's something what I'm foreseeing now.
All right. Well, any final thoughts, Marcel, before we sign off here? This has been wonderful. Any parting words as we wrap up today's episode?
Want to say basically for everyone is like it's a really interesting time to be in the whole IoT field, especially as I mentioned, the main hype of the basic IoT, yes, something can talk to something else, is over. We talk now about security and AI, and that almost triggers the kid in me again to, you know, it's a completely new playground out there, and with full new possibilities, new colors to combine and to play with. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm also thanks to John and team, we are capable of playing this new game, right?
I love your analogy, mixing the colors. That definitely, I think, brings the right perspective to it, because that's, you got to make it work, right? You got to make it work with the business model, as you said at the very beginning of the pod. It's if the numbers don't add up, it you know, the program isn't going to work, right? And so, kind of mixing the colors, if you will, of all these different elements between connectivity, between security, AI in the future, maybe other aspects that are going to help realize that business case, super critical for IoT programs going forward. Marcel, wanted to say thanks for you joining us, and I hope you have a pleasant start to your weekend here, being a Friday, and looking forward to speaking with you hopefully at our partner summit in a couple months.
Yes, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. And also thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you have feedback about today's podcast or questions for Marcel or the Aeris team, please contact us at podcast@aeris.com or leave a comment. We would love to hear from you. And don't miss our next episode, Can Your IoT Devices Think for Themselves? It's a continuation of our AI theme here. Well, they might sooner than you think. Until next time, I'm Susanna Song.
And I'm John Connett.
And this is IoT Real Talk.
From all of us at Aeris, thank you for listening to IoT Real Talk. We hope you'll join us again for more real stories from real practitioners shaping the future of IoT. Tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, or visit aeris.com/IoT podcast.